Welcome, and thanks for joining me for this installment of Practical Azure. I'm Jim O'Neill, a technology evangelist in the Boston area, and today I'm going to build on last episode's topic of Windows Azure SQL Database by discussing a feature called SQL Database Federations. So as we revisit the higher level Windows Azure feature roadmap, we can see that SQL Database Federations is very connected to SQL Database. So what is SQL Database Federations? SQL Database Federations is really all about scale. So if you think about how you manage applications under load, you would typically add more machines as you had a larger amount of user traffic. You'd add another web server, for instance, and load balance across them. And Windows Azure can certainly do that for you. But what happens when your database starts growing? You can certainly make it a little bit bigger. You can add another disk to the server. But what happens when you can't add any more disks? And that's where SQL Database Federations comes in. It uses a technique that we call sharding, and sharding is a form of horizontal partitioning, taking some subsets of each of your table and pushing it into a completely different database. So we use sharding to split the data over multiple physical databases. Now, in SQL Azure Database, this technique is particularly important because it allows you to break out of that 150 gigabyte maximum size for a database, something that we discussed last time. And that restriction is really there to balance both performance with high availability and tolerance, fault tolerance. Now, SQL Federation, though, has other uses as well, and one of the primary ones is to support multi-tenanted applications, being able to store data from various different end user customers in the same database to serve up to your application. So without further ado, let's go ahead and set up one of these federations from scratch, and we'll go ahead and go into the Windows Azure portal and see how to do that. Now, I've already set up a SQL database here called FedTest inside of the Windows Azure portal. So let's go ahead and go in and manage this database. And what we'll end up doing is adding a couple of tables here to sort of represent a customer in an order scenario. Very, very simple. Right now, the database is completely empty. There's nothing in it. So we're going to create a couple of tables, and we're also going to create what we call federations to see how all this works. So the first thing I'm going to do now that I'm in the database and can issue some queries is I'm going to go ahead and create what's called a federation. I'm going to be cutting and pasting some SQL statements from off screen just to save some time here. So this statement is a new data definition statement called create federation. What this is going to do is essentially set up an object in the database, in my main database, which we'll call the federation root. So there's some new terminology here as well. Call customer federation. And customer federation is kind of like a logical grouping of data associated with the customer. So in our case, it would be the customer table and an orders table. And each part of each customer inside of that group of tables is kind of identified by a key. So the key here is CID or customer ID. So you can kind of think all of customers 100's data is going to be kind of stored together. All customer 200's data is going to be stored together. So let's go ahead and create this federation. It's not too exciting in terms of running it. What it actually does, though, it actually is going to create another database on my behalf. So I started out with the test database that was completely empty. It is now termed the federation root, and I've created another database under the covers. You can't really see it. It's not really surfaced all that well in terms of the portal. But it's there, and this database is called a federation member. And this is how you actually scale. You end up creating multiple federation members and start pushing data across those different members. So now that I've created the federation, let's go ahead and open up another query here. And what I'm going to do next is create the customer table. So let me paste a little bit more SQL here. And let's take a look at this statement. So you'll notice here that we start off with a use federation statement. So once I'm using SQL Database Federations, every query that I issue, every time I try to get data out or create tables or what have you, I'm going to be using a use federation statement. And what this basically says is target that physical database that stores the information for whatever customer. So in this case, target the database that stores the information for customer zero. Now, there is no customer zero yet. There are no customers at all. Everything's in one database. So in this case, it could have been CID equals 100 or 300 or what have you. It becomes a little bit more interesting once we have data in there. So I'm going to do the use federation statement. Then I'm going to create a table. And this is just plain old SQL creating a table with a bunch of different columns called customer with a primary key. It needs to be a clustered primary key. That's a requirement of SQL Azure Database. And then I'm also going to create a new clause here called federated on. So what this basically says is that for this table called customer, I'm going to associate that with the customer federation. And the way I associate that is that CID, that key, that federation key for customer federation, is going to be tied to the customer ID column of the customer table. Well, that's kind of how this stuff connects. So let me run this statement, and we should end up with a table in the database. And you'll notice it said change database context to system, blah, blah, blah. That's actually the database that I created on my behalf to store this SQL Federation member. So let me open up yet another query, and I'm going to paste a big old statement here. This one is just going to insert some sample data. So let me grab that. And let's paste that here. So it's just inserting, I think, about 65 different rows of various different customers. You'll notice, again, I'm also using the use federation. So basically saying, take the whatever I'm going to do with this statement, apply it to the federation member, the database that contains customer zero. Again, we only have one federation member, so it really didn't matter what that customer ID number was. So with that, I've got hopefully 65 rows inside of my database. So what I'm going to do next is let's issue a query and see what's actually there. So I'm going to use, again, that same use federation statement, and let's just do select star from customer and see what we got. So if I run this, you'll notice I have 65 rows with the various customer data that's in here. Now things get a little bit interesting. So if you look at the use federation statement, you'll notice that it says with reset. That's something that's always going to have to be there. And it also says filtering off. I can change this to filtering on, and something unique will happen here. So now let me change it to filtering on. Let me run it again. And all of a sudden, I have no data. The reason I have no data is what's happening is it's taking this federation ID, and it's only going to return me the information inside that federation that's associated with that ID. So it's kind of like putting a where clause in every SQL statement. So if I were to change this to 61, for instance, and run it, it's going to point to the same physical database, but now it's going to bring back just the information for customer 61. And this is really sort of the key to doing some of those multi-tenanted applications. Now, if I change it to filtering off, what that basically means is point me to the database that has customer 61 in it, but give me everything that's in there. So now if I run it again, I will get all 65 rows, including what's in 61. So a little bit of neat semantics there to manage how you're actually accessing data inside the database. So we have one table. We have a customer table at this point. But I want to put an orders table in there as well. So it's not too interesting just to have one table. So let's add another table in a very similar fashion to what we did with the customer table. So I'm going to open up yet another query. And you can see it's the same deal here, use federation, target the database that has customer ID 0. We still, again, only have one federation. I could change this to 61 if that makes people feel a little bit better, because we know we have a 61 in there. So now I'm going to create a table called order. And it also has a primary key. It has a foreign key back to the customer table. And this, excuse me, this table is also federated on that same customer ID federation key. So there's a tie from this CID up to here. So that means we're going to keep the data in the customer table and the order table associated with the same customer ID all together. And then I just added a few data elements here, two different rows for a couple of customers just to sort of show how it works. So let's run this query. So we've got two rows inserted in the database. And let's just go do another query again. This time let's select star from, and we'll leave the CID and all that the same. So let's run it. So now we've got two rows. I entered two rows into this table. One row is associated with customer 61. One row is associated with customer 101. I'm getting both rows in this case because I have filtering equals off. I change filtering equal to on. Then this number comes into play, and it's essentially the same as select star from order where customer ID equals 61. So I will get an invalid syntax. Let's try that again. There we go. A little glitch there. And I get only the information for customer 61, even though there's other data in that database. And again, that's because I used filtering equals on. Now, here's a question. What happens when I get so much data in this database that I exceed the size of the database? I get up to the 150 gig limit. Or I'm finding, based on looking at some of the dynamic management views that are available with SQL database, that it's very busy or there's a hot database. A lot of things are hitting one database, and that one's kind of slow, and other ones, you know, could take up some of the slack. What if I want to split this down the middle? So if we go back into our customer table, for instance, we don't have a lot of data there, but if we look at it, we have 65 rows, and they go from like 56 up to somewhere in the 100 range or something, 200 range. So let's say that this is a really big database, and I've decided through some analysis using these data management views and so on that around 100 is where I want to split the database. It's kind of like in the middle, and I can create another database and put half of it in one and half of it in the other. The way I do that is through something called a split. So I'm going to do a start another query here, and we're going to issue a use federation root with reset. So federation root, if you remember, was the original database. It's the one that houses this federation object and knows where all of these federation member databases are. Then what we're going to do is we're going to say, let's change that federation we created, and let's create a split. We're going to split it at the key value of 100. So everything that's 100 and less will go in one database, and everything that's 100 more than 100 will go into another database. So let me go ahead and run this. And what's happening here is actually a lot under the covers. What's going on is that we are creating a new database, a new SQL database, and we are taking essentially half of the data or all of the data associated with customer 101 and greater and moving that into the new database and removing it from the old database. All this is happening while everything is live and online. So you don't have to bring it down or anything along those lines. It all happens. It's not immediate, of course, so there's actually a way to check on progress and so on to make sure it's done before you try to do anything after that that might be impacted by the fact that you're moving some data around. In the time I took to explain that, it's likely done. So what I can do is go back to one of my queries. Let's go back to the customer query here, and let's see what's happened at this point. So we know we have customer 61, for instance, and I've got filtering off. So let's see what happens. Okay. So you'll notice that I checked for all the customers in whatever database is housing customer 61, and I said filtering off, so I should get everything in that database. Notice I only got 28 rows. I only got 28 rows because this database now only has people up until 99. If I change this to 101, what will happen is I will actually get redirected into a completely different physical database that has 37 rows. So when I come into the federation root database, it's kind of like a traffic cop, and it knows based on this key, 101, 61, or whatever, what physical database to actually route you to. So at this point, you can continue to split these databases kind of ad nauseum and really, really scale out your scenario. So at this point, let's go back to the slides because there's a few other things that I want to point out that aren't completely evident just by looking at the SQL queries. So there's a few other important concepts I want to make known about SQL federations. One of those is this term called an atomic unit. Now, we've actually touched upon this earlier when we looked at the customer federation. And in the customer federation, we had two tables. We had customer and order, and we had a federation key based on the customer ID. An atomic unit is essentially all the information associated with a specific customer ID in this case. That atomic unit will never be split across multiple databases. So that's the smallest item that you can sort of move around. So if, for instance, customer ID 61 had 150 megabytes or more of data associated with that, you might have a problem because you can't split it up anymore. You'd have to sort of reinvestigate how your federation is being defined and what that federation key is. So coming up with a good federation key is a really important part of your design here as well. The tables that we looked at in the demo were all federated tables, so they were essentially going to be split over multiple databases. But there's other types of data that may not be appropriate for. There's reference tables, for instance, a lookup of state abbreviations is sort of a canonical example of that. That's something that you might just want to have available locally in each database. It doesn't take up a lot of space, and you want to be able to do joins to it and that sort of thing, so it can't be across multiple databases. So you can set up reference tables, and you just create them as you normally would. You just don't use the onFederation clause as part of your create table statement. You can also use central tables. And what central tables are, kind of like reference tables, but they only exist once. They're not copied across Federation members because central tables are actually located in the Federation root. So you could store metadata or some kind of configuration data in that root database that you don't want replicated over the Federation members and just target those tables in that Federation root. And then lastly, one of the things that's very difficult about SQL federations in terms of queries and even performance is how do you query something that sits across multiple federations or multiple federation members. So in our simple example, we were looking at customer ID 61, and customer ID 61 kind of defines, again, an atomic unit, so we knew that was always going to be in one database. What if I needed information of all of the orders that were placed last week? That could be customer 61, 101, 10,000, could be across multiple different physical databases inside of this federation. You can't do cross-database joins in SQL database. So what happens? Well, this is called a fan-out query. And what specifically is going to have to happen is you're going to have to query each federation member for that piece of data, and then you're going to have to aggregate that data somehow. Typically, you would aggregate that data in some sort of a data layer through code. But we're working on it. And so we're working on a much more streamlined type scenario to handle these types of fan-out queries. And there's actually different categories of fan-out queries. Some are harder than others, depending on if they use the federation key or not. So what I'm going to urge you to do is take a look at this sample here, federationsutilitytrafficmanager.net, which gives you some ideas of how to handle these types of fan-out queries and gives you an idea of the kind of direction we're going as we look at new features as part of SQL Federation. So with that, let me leave you with a few handy links as always. So if you haven't gotten your SQL Azure on your Windows Azure trial yet, please do so. There's a free 90-day trial account that you can use to take a look at SQL Federations along with all of the other options inside of Windows Azure. There's a few tutorials here as well that you can run through. Actually, what I did today was sort of an adaption of one of those tutorials. There's a couple of great white papers as well as blog entries and even a wiki on how to manage these federations. It's sort of an art and a science between trying to figure out where to split a particular federation. And sometimes it depends on the data access patterns and so on, how you think your data is going to grow, those types of things. So take a look at some of those examples. And if you want to play with something without having to set up something huge, AdventureWorks, the database we all know and love, has been set up as a federated database through one of the Windows Azure technical evangelists. And that's online. So you can download that. You can create a federated database inside of your own Windows Azure account and start playing around with all of the different scenarios. And then if you're into posters and you like art, everything I talked about today is available as this huge poster that you can hang up on your wall. There's a URL there if you want to download it, but it kind of gives you the high-level view of how these federations work, how splits work, how the federation root works with the federation members, and so on. Thanks for joining me again for Practical Azure. Now that we've seen how to scale a Windows Azure SQL database, next time we'll look at SQL Data Sync, which allows you to synchronize data among databases, and those databases can be housed on-premises or across multiple Windows Azure data centers.